WOOC correspondents Julia Kavicki and Trayvon dispatched to the floating island launch party in Albany to celebrate an environmental justice response to the long-standing issue of combined sewage overflows.
Are floating wetlands that we're going to put out into the water, and they're used to kind of take the excess nutrients out of the water and then also break down the sewage.
So in your words, what is a CSO?
CSO, it stands for combined sewage overflow, and whenever we see big storms, what happens is sewage literally dumps into the river. So that's like fecal matter and hair and toilet paper, it's going into the river. It can't go through the sewage pipes anymore because the sewage treatment plants, they will have too much and they can only handle so much. So then it goes into the river.
So how long has this been going on for?
Water is really the only reason why any of these towns or cities were created in the first place. Economically or ecologically, and we've just, in pretty recent memory, polluted them to the point where they're no longer swimmable or fishable, and that's just a travesty, in my opinion.
Imagine you lived here 300 years ago, where now we have all these streets. These were stream channels, Patroon Creek and Fox Creek and the Rotten Kill and the Beaver Kill, and now all those are piped. So you don't see these blue lines on the maps. You don't see them anymore because they're all piped.
And that alienation is particularly profound in the city of Albany, where they built an interstate parallel to the river. You can't even get to it. There's only a couple ways you can even access the river, and you have to know where they are. And then you get down there, and it's kind of this little slice. The water board is supposed to make these announcements when there's a CSO.
Well, I'm the commissioner in the city of Albany for the Department of Water and Water Supply. So when it's raining, my phone is ding, 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 ding. We have 7 people in our department who get the alarm, so we make sure that we don't miss it because somebody's on vacation. We actually had a situation where we didn't have it real defined. I'll take care of it, and we didn't pass the ball off, and nobody reported it. We thought somebody else did. So we got chastised for that.
In the summer, they didn't. They're just like, yeah, we were on vacation. We just didn't. So they got in trouble with the DEC for that.
There was a CSO that the city failed to report. They can either pay a fine or they could choose to fund a remediation project. So that's what this is.
In lieu of paying fines to the DEC, they've opted to instead pay for what's called an environmental benefit project. What is our relationship to the actual waterways and rivers and lakes and oceans that it goes into, and why should we care about that health? Mutualistic reciprocity or mutualistic symbiosis is between people, urban residents, and the health of water bodies, not just you taking action to improve the health of the river to protect it from ourselves. Yes, that's part of it, but by doing that, you also can benefit personally, combining both like self and collective interests together, which I think is more motivating to people to say, yeah, we need to protect the river, but you can also be getting something out of it.
Is there any way that like we can stop this problem?
Well, one thing that we can do is we can be more conscious about how much water we use. We can be conscious about what we're putting into the recycling streams, making sure that we're managing waste appropriately so that it goes where it needs to before it gets in the river. We have an aquaponic system on site at Radix. Some of these really little green pods, they're water lettuce, and they grow in our duck pond. So all of the plants start at different stages, and then we add them to the islands as we need them. So these are all going to be tethered to this big dock that we have. It's powered by a solar panel, and that powers a bubbler which gives excess more oxygen so that the plants can thrive, and it also breaks down raw sewage in the Hudson River.
A solar panel that powers a compressor and bubbling air into it, which is pretty much what happens at a sewage treatment plant. And then plants grafted to it that would uptake the nutrients from there and turn it into a harvestable biomass.
So there, everybody is bringing plants down on little raft-like things.
So thank you all for coming to the official release party of the floating island, and we're really excited about this. Our hope here is to demonstrate how it could be possible to remediate sewage overflows and contaminated stormwater and runoff in general using technologies that are simple, affordable, equitable, biologically based, renewable. We've really tried to integrate our Eco Justice Summer program into it, particularly the youth. The Hudson River is really the primary reason why the city of Albany exists, and it's really unfortunate that we've built an interstate that runs parallel to it that has cut our access off to it, and we've really lost our vital connection with it. And many people view it as polluted, which it is, but it's important to keep in mind it has gotten a lot better over the past 30 years. So I think a really key, important first step in building a better relationship with the river is just bringing people down to it and showing them that it's something that they should care about and they can care about. Here, the solar panel is the main component, and what it's doing is powering an air pump that blows oxygen out of these discs that will be sitting underneath the different floating wetland cells, taking something that will float, and have attached wetland plants to the plastic mesh matrix that's allowed their roots to grow down below. If you see there, all the roots that are dangling below, creating habitat for beneficial bacteria who are capable of degrading a lot of the sewage that flows into the river. There's actually a sewage discharge pipe down in this corner. And what happens here in Albany is when we have a heavy rain event, our sewer systems, which are designed to accommodate both sewage and stormwater, will become overwhelmed. And by design, they will overflow into the Hudson, which creates a whole range of issues, everything from public health concerns about having any contact with water or eating fish out of it, but also creating a condition called eutrophication in the river itself, where we have an excess of nutrients that can result in fish die-off. So the hope is that we can, by using plants and bacteria, pull those extra nutrients out of the water and transform them into plant biomass that then could eventually be harvested and test them, see if how high their heavy metal content is. And depending on that, if the content is low enough, we'll likely just compost them. Basically just taking these nutrients out of the river and putting them back into the soil where there's not going to be creating as much problem in the river itself.
We all came together today to release them into the Hudson River, and hopefully we can see these plants thrive.
The kind of crazy things to imagine, you know, in a future world. To build this sort of permanent floating research station in the middle of the Hudson that you could go and spend the night on. These sort of remediating islands that go up and down the Hudson, just sort of pumping in water in one end and cleaning up the other. How important water is to life and water is to human survival. The relationship between urban residents and the water bodies that they coexist with is somehow representative of our attitudes towards the non-human in general.
I'm going in.
That was a recording from the Bioremediation Island Launch Party in Albany last week, featuring Scott Kellogg of the Radix Center and Joe Coffey, the Commissioner of Albany Water Board.
For those just tuning in, I'm Kleanna Lightborn.
And I'm Eric Newton. You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy.
To learn more about the Hudson Mohawk Magazine program, to listen online, and to learn how to support the Sanctuary for Independent Media, check us out online at mediasanctuary.org. If you have comments, suggestions, or a sour bone to pick, you can text us at 518-888-3004. Also, be sure to tune in 7 to 10 weeknights for Jazz Sanctuary, a wonderful celebration of all that is creative, dedicated to supporting jazz in the Hudson Mohawk region.